Hello, everyone. Hi, hey, what's up? What's going on? So I'm sitting here in my office right now, looking out at a semi-dreary day. I'm going to try to use all of my focus to not go off on a tangent about our weather that we've had here, although we did just have a crazy snowstorm. I know a lot of the country did, but it was pretty crazy. Now it's just a little stormy. Like I said, trying to not go off on a tangent, but hi. So guys, welcome to the first episode of my audio, I guess, exclusive podcast. Now, this is still going to be, at least as of right now, because I don't have any other plans, this is still going to be like the Tea Talk podcast. So when I do interviews in the future, assuming I eventually do, which I have so many plans for them, I have so many people in mind that I would love to talk to and have agreed to do episodes with me. I just haven't gotten around to doing it, which is a whole other thing. Hashtag mom life. I've been really busy. 2020 was crazy, I think, for everyone. My parents moved at the end of the year as well. And then at the end of the year, which is what is going to lead us into today's episode, I decided to start weaning from breastfeeding. This, by the way, I realize is a really kind of a random first podcast episode, but I just kept like debating. Truth be told, I actually already recorded two podcasts and I never even listened to them back because I don't even know. I got really weird and a little embarrassed. And sometimes I'm like that. I'll film or record something and I'm like, I can't even look. I already know I don't like it. And I don't even know if that would be true. But either way, the point of that is that I've been really like in my head about what I wanted to put out and when. And I just kind of decided I just want to do it. And Dan said the same thing. He was like, dude, you know what you're thinking. You know what you want to say. Why don't you just start? This was such a huge thing that happened in your life recently. And oh my gosh, guys, it was. And so that's what I want to talk to you about today. So I'm going to kind of back up, like I said, to the end of 2020. So I want to say that I started thinking about weaning in like maybe November, December. Now, all of this is going to be a little bit fuzzy. I just want to say that because my life, a lot of the times, I feel like even before, all the quarantines and everything that has gone down in 2020, my life was already very home focused. But once last year hit, you know, the time flies because it's like being a new mom. I have so much that I've been doing all day, every day. But in some ways, it can also kind of feel like Groundhog's Day a little bit. Like, whoa, another day of like this because you can't go about your normal, like out of your house. I don't know. Like I said, don't even need to go off on that whole thing. But I mean, my whole life in some ways has been unaffected by all of this and in other ways has been completely thrown upside down. So timelines might be fuzzy, details might be fuzzy, but this whole experience of post-weaning depression is what I'm going to talk to you guys about, is something I was not aware of. I feel like there's a lot of talk about postpartum depression. Even that though, I'm not sure, like I've started hearing now that something like postpartum depression can be an issue up to like a year after giving birth. So I mean, that might be what I was dealing with as well, but really it was and is, has been post-weaning depression. And this is something that I think I'm still wading through. I can't really know for sure because it's been 2.5 months, I feel like. Honestly, it started right around the time I threw my back out. Wow, that's a whole other thing. We're going 12 different directions. But I decided to start weaning right around that same time. And so I know that that definitely added to this as well, to this just down feeling. And I would have these extreme mood swings. And so that's kind of been one of the biggest markers over the last 2.5 months, is just I would be feeling fine, if not really great. And then a couple days later, something would happen. And an interaction with someone, interaction with Dan or whoever, like I would read something and it would just, my mood would completely crash. And like really low crashes. And I kept noticing, like I was telling my friends way too consistently, that I was having some serious lows and that Dan and I, you know, were butting heads a lot. And, you know, I want to say, I'm going to say that hesitantly, like I want to be open and honest that Dan and I have been, like I said, kind of butting heads a lot over the last couple of months. But, you know, I know becoming parents for the first time is difficult, right? You're trying to navigate all of this, figure things out together. You're both nervous about caring for your child. You want to do the right thing, but you might interpret things differently. So, you know, I think that's normal. And holy Toledo, speaking of blessings, I guess not speaking of blessings, I didn't do any segue there, but blessings, I'll talk about that. Dan has been such a blessing. Like the way that he has walked with me through my pregnancy and postpartum, and particularly since we are on the topic of weaning, breastfeeding, you know, this kind of gives me the thought of like back at the beginning of when I first had Logan and I first started creating milk. And I, like, guys, I'm the weirdest combination in general of a person who's like very, I don't know if we want to use the word self-sufficient, driven on it. You know, if you've been following me for a long time, you know that I've been working since I was 14 years old. I owned my own business from 14 to 19, you know, teaching dance. And side note, oh my gosh, after this week of my mom saving my life, which is also jumping around and fast forwarding, oh, and by the way, if you're listening to this podcast with children, I just want to warn you that the topic, like I'm going to be pretty, like it might be considered adult content because I'm going to be talking about this post-weaning depression in detail. And yeah, it was a really dark week for me. And I want to be honest for the sake of like you, the listener, if you are going through the same thing or you didn't even know this was a thing and maybe you're just kind of getting your head around it in case you deal with this as well. But that being said, I just want to be honest. So backing up, some ways I'm self-sufficient, you know, I'm really like a go-getter, but then I fast forwarded and said, when my mom came this week, I had this realization. I was like, man, it wasn't a realization. I've known this. I just saw it coming out of the depths of despair and having my mom be there. I was like, wow, my mom is like a big part of like me learning how to and being able to like accomplish things in life. And that's not to take credit away from myself, but she's a big part of that. So anyways, as I was saying, in some ways I'm all these things. And in other ways, I'm just like, I don't know. I don't want to say hot mess and be mean, but like, I feel like even my breastfeeding situation was not common in the sense of ushering in Dan into this story. I didn't know what to do. I was very scared. We watched videos together on breastfeeding. Our midwife helped us. We also met with a lactation consultant, but I just felt clueless and I felt helpless and I felt freaked out, like feeling my boobs fill up with milk and be like rock hard and they ached, and then trying to get like my baby's mouth on my boob, which to those of you that don't know this, I did do two breastfeeding journey videos up on my YouTube channel. I probably don't even remember like close to the details of what I referenced in those videos because they were filmed, you know, earlier on in my journey, but I do remember a couple of things, and one of those things was in the beginning, Dan would literally massage my boobs. Like he would milk me. Yeah, he would say that he would milk me like a goat. And so this is one of the things, side note, that I really love about Dan is he has this extremely like practical, down to earth mentality about a lot of things that I don't know. Like I remember when we were dating and he was never grossed out like by me being on my period. Like he went out and would pick me up tampons if like I ran out and, you know, whatever. So he's never been grossed out by bodily functions. And I think it was actually really cool for him. But still, even though I think he liked being part of that, which was cool, and it's cool that we're both into that, I just really appreciated it because I felt, like I said, literally I felt helpless. And he would sit there and wake up with me every 2 hours. Because, you know, in the beginning, that's like the recommended newborn feeding schedule is every 2 hours. He would wake up with us and we would turn on the office and he would massage my boobs while I fed Logan. to make sure that Logan got all the milk that he needed and to make sure that I, you know, decreased my chances of getting mastitis. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't even remember why I went on this rant about my early breastfeeding journey. I think it's just, it's been a crazy year, you know, and I went from that to using a hand pump to spraining both of my wrists to getting actual pumps. I got the Spectra to getting the LV pump because I realized I wasn't going to be able to continue if I couldn't go hands-free. And then, so, okay, I never, wow, I'm all over the place. I never had a specific goal in mind for my breastfeeding. I know a lot of people go into it with a goal. Like, I want to make it to a year. I want to make it to 2 years or 6 months or 4 months or whatever it is. I couldn't even think about it. I literally just knew that I will know when I know. And I'm weird like that. It's the same, part of the same reason that when I was pregnant, I was never vaginally checked the entire time. I don't think, unless I just forgot, but I feel like I wouldn't forget that. Because, and that's kind of separate. That's kind of a couple of reasons that I could go into detail. I'm like, do I go into detail? But also I just feel like anything I say, which whatever, I guess if you're listening to my podcast, I was going to say anything I say, someone's going to be like, no, that's not true. And you could be 100% right. But it's like, you know, sometimes you make your own decisions for your own personal reasons. Anyways, one of those reasons was also I didn't want the psych, like the head trip of someone telling me where I was and then wanting to know how much farther, like wanting to get to the end. I almost don't even like it when, you know, like workout teachers or like my dance instructors growing up, they'd be like, just 10 more sit-ups, guys. And you're like, yes. And then you get to the end and they're like, all right, five more. And you're like, you lied to me. Which is also side note, that also isn't a side note, how I felt when I was giving birth. I thought my midwife was lying to me just to keep me going. If you saw our birth video, then you know that I was like, you're lying to me. That's what I thought. So that was the other reason I didn't want to get vaginally checked. So bring it on back to the actual topic at hand, breastfeeding. I was that same way. I didn't even want the goal for myself. I was just like, no, I'm just going to do me. And because I knew in my heart of hearts that I wanted to give my baby breast milk as long as possible because I think that that's like the best food for them, I knew, okay, that's my actual intention. So I will honor how long my, you know, mental, physical health can do this. And if that's a month, 2 months, whatever, I know that I just want to go as long as I can. So it was, I want to say, yeah, around November, I think, is when I realized, hey, I think we're coming to the end of this. I think I need to start working in the direction of cutting it down or just start thinking about it. And then, so I stopped being maybe like, I was like a little less stringent. So versus doing my pumps for like 45 minute sessions, I started cutting them down a few minutes earlier if I felt like it. Like, oh, I don't want to keep going with this. So I wouldn't, versus before it was like, you got to keep going, keep that supply up. I was just like, whatever, I'm done now. So I started kind of backing off. And in December, maybe this was January, honestly, maybe even mid-January. I don't know. It was a very, very slow process. Like when I say started weaning, part of that weaning was just like in my head and not being as on it with my sessions. Like I said, maybe cutting things a couple minutes earlier. But like I said, my sessions were 45 minutes during the day and I was still doing like six times a day. So, you know, cutting down to maybe like 35, 40 minutes, it was very slight. But in like January-ish, mid-January maybe late January, holy Toledo, guys. It doesn't even really matter. It was recent-ish, but I woke up and I was like, dude, I can't do this anymore. And it was exactly like I pictured it. Oh, yes, I do know that it was mid-January because Logan's birthday is in January. And I remember just being excited that I made it to that year mark and just having this click in my brain where I was suddenly like, I'm done. I don't think I can do this anymore. Now, the other thing is, before we get into, I'm going to back up and kind of talk about the emotional aspect of all of this. I have been thinking for a long time that I would like to get pregnant if that's what God has for us. this year. I don't know what's going to happen. I think about that every day, to be honest. I'm 32, right? Or am I 33? Oh my gosh, guys, see, I'm really bad with dates. I'm 33. I will be 34 in May, and I don't really know how many kids we want. So either way, I haven't gotten my period back. This is a whole separate side tangent. And so part of me backing off was also in hopes of getting my period back. I don't know. And so here's the thing about weaning, guys. It has been mentally and emotionally draining, and I didn't expect that. And, you know, like I said in the beginning, I've had so many ups and downs over the last few months, and I did not connect it to the weaning the whole time. And really, I only connected it to the weaning this week because I want to back up and tell what unfolded in the last like week and a half, 2 weeks, because I don't ever think I'll forget what like this chunk of my life. I might forget the details, but the gist of what went down has been crazy and has left its mark on me. So a few weeks ago, on February 1st, we went to Texas for a week. And at this point, I had already weaned down to, I want to say 3 pumps a day. And when we got to Texas, I just immediately cut it to two pumps a day. Now, we had been feeding Logan. This has actually completely changed this week and isn't part of the story, but we had been feeding Logan at night and before his naps some almond milk. As of this week, which is part of my mom coming to town, that whole story, we've started making hemp milk. It's fattier, it's homemade. I'll probably be talking about that in the future and showing how I make it in a video. Anyways, I went to Texas. You know, my back, like I mentioned, has been out since like December, early December. And I have already been going a little cuckoo from that. Any of you that have dealt with back pain, chronic pain, all of that knows that you can kind of go through these cycles of feeling a little cuckoo. And so that's already something I deal with as my body kind of flares in and out of like injuries and pain and stuff. And it was hard to get to Texas. I cried on the flight there. Logan was great on the flight there, but I cried because I was in a lot of pain. And we got there, had a great week. That video, by the way, another plug for the YouTube channel, should be up now or soon, our week in Texas. And we actually left like 2 days before the massive storm hit there. So yet again, another side note that isn't a side note, my thoughts have been with all of you in Texas who have been dealing with just the severe stuff that came with the winter storm. We just missed that. So yeah, so backing up, went to Texas, cut down to 2 pumps that week. And when we came home from Texas, I mentioned on Instagram that the flight home was like a horrible, like the day was horrible. My back was killing me. I left my airport or left my wallet at Chad and Marlene's house and didn't realize that till we were halfway to the airport. So we had to turn around and figure out if we could like change flights. And we did not end up missing our flight, but we barely made it. So also this whole time, the whole day, Logan was like extra whiny and could not be soothed. And because I was in so much like discomfort with my back and stressed about flying and trying to pack, and Logan was crying and I could not figure out why. And then I left my wallet at home, and then we get to the airport, and traveling with all of the stuff, all of the COVID stuff going on is just like, it's too much for my little heart, people. But you know, there was that. And then the whole flight, Logan was whining or crying. He was laughing at some points, but it was like that manic baby laugh trying to like cover a cry. And it was so stressful and so upsetting. And then when we got home, I am like, I think he needs to go right to sleep. Like what I've noticed is when Logan is unsoothable, he needs to go to sleep. So I'm like, okay, let's give him his bath quick. We put him in the bath, and it turned out that he had severe diaper rash. Logan has never really had diaper rash. Like, we're talking maybe once before, maybe twice, and it's been mild, but this was severe. And so I just like bust out into tears and I'm sobbing. You know, he did not want us to do the whole diaper rash regimen, but once we got him in that diaper cream and in back in his cloth diapers, I mean, he literally stopped instantly and went to sleep. And so that was great. But after I got him to sleep, I went to the bathroom to put on my pumps, and I had been pumping at this point twice a day for so short, 5 to 10 minutes, really 5 minutes. And I go to pump and I accidentally pumped for like 9 minutes. And I look down and I realize there's no milk in there. I didn't have a letdown, and my letdowns always come within, you know, 30 seconds to a minute and a half of pumping. And so I was kind of startled. I was like, whoa, like, was that it? And I just felt really weird about it, and I didn't know what to do. And basically over the next couple of days, I would randomly have letdowns, but they were changing. It was like my boobs would tingle, like you start to get it for a letdown, and then, at least for me, then my boobs would get like hard, and then normally you have a letdown. I wasn't having like the letdown, but just the pre-letdown stuff. And I started like the feelings, and then I started noticing when I was putting Logan to sleep, I would get that feeling when I'm feeding him from the bottle, and I would feel like angry that I was feeding him from the bottle, and I would start crying, honestly, often. And I basically just got really upset. And there was one day, I'm fast forwarding through days, right? I don't even remember how I started this from like the Texas point till now. Maybe I did do the language to kind of bridge the gap, but in case I didn't, backing up here, this is over the next few days of being home from Texas, like what was going down. And I just started getting more and more sensitive and more sad. And I started feeling really like, oh my gosh, I'm getting so nervous. I'm like picking at my fingers while I'm talking about all of this because it's kind of embarrassing. And that's what my mom was being so sweet. She was like, honey, this is something that a lot of women deal with. And I've realized that since I've started, you know, talking about it over the last little bit, because last week I did put on Instagram that I was dealing with this, and I got so many responses from people that were telling me like, yes, I, you know, dealt with this, and, you know, or knew someone who dealt with this, and just so kind. But it's kind of embarrassing. Like I felt hopeless. I felt mentally off, like way drastic in my logic and reasoning that I would use to back up and support my negative thoughts and feelings around, you know, Logan not needing me anymore. And I will say, and it almost doesn't even matter, right? Because I was going to say some of this is circumstantial, like some of the negative thoughts that I was, you know, telling myself around being a burden and, you know, with my back and whatever. And I was going to say the circumstances almost don't even matter, because this is where we're going to get to kind of like the adult part of the content, I guess, if it all hasn't been. How do I even, gosh, I so awkward, and jumping around in stories is a little awkward, but that's how I tell stories. Fast forward, I became, I guess you could say, suicidal over the next few days. This was last week. And when that happened, one of the things that I ended up seeing during that process at one point when I'm like sobbing in my bed, I ended up on a forum of people who had attempted to take their life and had failed. And these were their thoughts afterwards. And all of them said the same thing as me, having this feeling of being a burden on the people that they love, and genuinely thinking that the people that they love would be better off without them and like I said, it's like it's always like how much detail do you give, but I found so much logic and reasoning to back up the thoughts that I was telling myself. And I think a lot of the times, if not most of the times, I don't know, like attitudes and choices that you make, a lot of it has to do with mindset and your decisions. But I felt so like emotionally out of control, and I felt like the arguments I had against all of those things just were fading into the background and were not as strong and couldn't stand up to the arguments that I had as to why it would be better if I wasn't alive anymore, or if I exited, or, you know, oh gosh, here's the thing. It's so, like I said, it's so awkward saying the words, but I feel like I know I did not expect what unfolded this last week. And here's the thing. When I was going through all of this, at a couple of points, I ended up reaching out to my mom and I said, "Mom, I need you to pray for me." And she called me and she prayed for me. I wasn't super available. She was sending me voice messages. I was just trying to process my heart. I don't know. I spent a lot of time just crying in dark places in my house, and feeling pretty zombied out and numbed out. But I say all that to say that, once again, I did not know this was a thing. And at one point during all of these days of just a breakdown, really it was two severe days where I didn't eat anything, I couldn't really drink, I just so much crying, so much zombieing out. And at one point I texted my mom. I just said, "I wish I could hug my mama." And she basically was just like, "You got it." And ended up coming into town, which was crazy. That's obviously leaving a couple details out, but I did not expect her to come to town. I wouldn't have asked her to come to town. I just didn't expect it. And she literally came 2 days later. I did come out of it between that point and when my mom got here. And it was just kind of a gradual reintroduction of food and feeling like eating again and not crying as much, you know, feeling on the verge of crying or being weepy, but not, you know, on the floor in the laundry room, you know, with the door closed in the dark. It was, you know, progression, just feeling sad. And when my mom got to town, which, oh my gosh, thank the Lord that she came. Like I said, I would have never asked. And I'm just so grateful she did. But by the time that my mom got to town and we were talking through everything, that's when I had the realization that my letdowns had stopped almost entirely. And I noticed as the week went on, I wasn't crying as much when I went to put Logan to bed. And when I would have these little fake mini letdowns or pre-letdowns, they were getting it's like someone was turning the volume down. And that's pretty much it. I realized when talking to my mom, I was like, holy Toledo, those 2 days, I mean, they were literally the days where my letdowns stopped. And I guess that was me reacting and being out of that now. First off, we're monitoring me. That was kind of the conclusion we came to when my mom left, was we're going to keep an eye on my moods, because I'm wanting to possibly meet with my regular medical doctor at some point to discuss medication again. If you've been following my channel for a long time, you know that I have been on a very, very low prescription of Lexapro. I got put on that by a doctor at UCLA when we were going down that route of treating my chronic pain. And I have been weaning off now for the last few months. I want to say 6 to 8 months. And so there was part of me that wondered if that's what this was, the weaning off of this medication as well. Backing up. So yeah, so we're just going to keep an eye on everything. I think we're past the worst. You know, it's been a whole lot of ups and downs over the last 2 months, which is why I say, you know, my whole family's aware of this now. We're just, even me being aware of it helps, honestly. But all of us are aware of it now. And Dan really understands, you know, what's going on. Well, really understands. You get what I mean. He understands what's going on with the hormones and all of that. But we're just going to keep an eye on it. And if I start hitting those same types of lows, then I'm going to be talking to my doctor about possibly upping my medication or switching medications, because the amount of lows that I had over the last few months, I'm like, dude, I cannot keep going up, down, up, down, up, down into that degree. But like I said, my gut tells me, even with all the craziness going on in our lives, including the fact that I am becoming more and more confident about the fact that we will be moving soon, even with all the craziness going on in our lives, I just have a feeling. It's like once I got past it and then looked back and reflected, it's like everything in me feels like that's what was going on. And once I spoke to other women who had dealt with this and started reading up on it, I was like, whoa, okay. Yeah, I want to tell people about this. It's like I do what I don't, you know. There's always this tiny part of you, even if you're very like open in a lot of ways like I am, there's a small part of you that still feels like embarrassed or ashamed because, like, you know, a week ago I legitimately didn't want to live anymore. And I had all these reasons, you know, why it would be better if I wasn't here for everyone, you know. But so that's like a little embarrassing. But then at the same time, to turn and hear from so many people, oh, this is something you dealt with, it makes a lot of sense, right? I mean, it's like thinking about periods. If I didn't know that other women get mood swings on their periods, I don't know. I might feel more crazy. But it's like just knowing that that's something that can happen can almost, it just makes you feel a little better. At least I think. So yeah, I mean, you guys know, whenever I talk, I'm always just like, do I keep talking? Do I stop talking? How much info is too much info? Is that enough info? Like, I don't really know. So feel free to send me a DM or a comment or something and let me know if you have any specific requests for upcoming podcasts. In my head, I'm kind of thinking I would like to do these once a week. So we'll see. Reach for the stars, right, guys? No, but in all seriousness, in some ways, these are very easy to do, much easier than videos. In other ways, you guys know, I get a little bit like, I try not to hear a hater in my head the whole time while I'm talking. And, you know, I try to just like share with you guys like you're my friends, because actually a lot of you guys are my online friends. So, okay. I'm going to stop blabbering now. Cheers to the first audio podcast, and cheers to me being in such a better headspace now. Side note, that is also not a side note, that's my favorite phrase, my back is feeling so much better. It's insane. And I really hope it's not because I just cut gluten and dairy. Although considering it started getting so much better like 36 hours later, after 2.5 months of pain, I'm thinking it's not a coincidence, but yikes. So that's it. Bye, guys.